taking care of us. You are meeting the needs of this ministry. And Father, as you do so in a way where only you will get the credit and not man. Thank you, Father, that we can ask this of thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, through the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, provided for you and I the Word of God, the Bible. God, that's a gift from God for each one of us. And He gave it to us so that we would read it. He wants to have, God tells us about Himself in this book. He wants you and I to have a relationship with Him that is very special and very unique. He wanted us to know, first of all, that salvation was free. We could not buy it. We could not work our way to it. Salvation comes by faith, and faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, this morning, if you're saved, it's because you have believed the Word of God. And if you have believed the Word of God, you're saved. But, miss that little three-letter word. Living out salvation is not free. There's a cost. And each one of us, if we're going to successfully live out salvation, are going to have to pay some kind of cost. Now, if we don't pay the cost, God won't take the salvation away. We'll just miss all the blessings. And that's what makes life happy. I had to meet with a group this past week. They're having some inner turmoil, inner conflicts between people, conflicts between philosophies. And philosophy is the reason we do the things we do. We call that motive also, but philosophy and motive are sort of interconnected. As Christians, we are to have a particular philosophy, and that's to come out of this book. And if it doesn't come out of this book, it's going to be wrong. And then our motives are going to be wrong. And the things we do are going to be wrong. And they're not going to glorify God. So we're meeting here this morning. And we're looking at God's Word rather than any man's philosophy. We want God's philosophy. And that's what we're going to try and actually practice and put into practice this morning. It talked about the man putting his hand to the plow. Now, in Jesus' day, when a man put his hand to the plow, it was both hands. And it was just a one-bladed plow, and there was usually two oxen or two donkeys or mules tied to it, and they would pull it along, and he would guide it. And he made a statement. He said, if a man puts his hand to the plow, he goes out the plow, and he looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom. He's not worthy of Christ because he can't steer that plow looking back. I grew up on a farm. I plowed fields every year. And the one thing is you look at a point at the end of the field and you go for that point and you keep your eye on that point because if you wonder if you've got a flat tire, you're going to do this. And the furrow is not going to be straight. And so Christ was trying to give you and I an example of how we should have our eyes focused on a point. But with all the distractions of today, can you drive to church and not look any place but straight ahead of you? No, you can't do that anymore. You have to be aware of what's going on around you. But your mind can still stay focused on where you're going and what you're doing. Now, those of you who drive or have driven much have probably experienced something like this in your life. You're driving down the road, and you know where you are at, and you know where you have been, but you don't remember part of the way. Because your mind was not focused. Your mind was wandering off to the side here or something. You were thinking about something else. We don't want to do that. We want to try and, as a ministry, focus and not look back, but be looking ahead. Because it's what's out there ahead that is can be a blessing for each one of us, if we will let it be. God did not put you here to punish you. He put you here to bless you. And that's what he wants to do. The punishment comes after this life is over if you don't know Jesus. If you do know Jesus, there's not going to be any punishment because he bore it 2,000 years ago on a cross. So, there's only one direction that we should be looking. We should be looking forward. We should be looking to the future. Throughout our lives, we have been making plans. We all do it. Sometimes the plans come to fruition. Sometimes they just don't seem to work out when we make our own plans. But what I want us to do today, if we can, is try and establish what God's plan might be for this ministry, of which you are a part by virtue of the fact that you are here. Everyone, whether you're a regular member or not, you are a part of this ministry. And God is the one who has kept this ministry here over all these years. It's not been us. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability to do that. You don't even have the ability to take care of yourself without God helping. It's when we take our eyes off from God and we look to ourselves that we fail. And I don't want this ministry to fail. I want this ministry to be successful. And the way for this ministry to be successful is for it to be looking ahead. Eyes focused on the goal. Eyes focused on the purpose for which we are here meeting. Now, when we make our own plans, if we plan according to the will of God, then we can succeed. But if we plan according to our own will, usually we'll fail. So this morning I'd like to share with you a vision that I have for this ministry. Now, I don't need anybody asking what I'm smoking because I don't smoke anything, okay? We can do nothing and stay as we are. Or we can reach out and try and perform the will of God and move toward the goal that God would give us. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. I do seek to know the will of God, as I'm sure all of you do. And I see that we have, as I see it, we have many choices. You see, I sit in my office by myself most of the week. It gives me a chance to think, so I put you in jeopardy. Not really. But as I see, we have many choices. And we can do things God's way, or we can do things our own way. But I don't think that's an option. We can argue about what we think this church should be and what kind of teaching we want, and we can have a church split, but that's not what God wants from a church. We can ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we can listen for his still small voice. He doesn't roar like a lion, but we can hear that still small voice, and we can agree that that is what the Holy Spirit wants, and that might please the Lord. It's my belief that the Lord wants this ministry to continue. I don't think he wants us to board up the windows and the doors and close the doors. I think that the Lord wants us to move forward together. We have talked about arm in arm, and I believe that that's what the Lord wants. I think the Lord wants to grow this church family. We are looking at ways, different ways right now, that we might be able to do that. And we will keep you informed as to what we're doing and why we're doing it. We're going to need to get many of you involved. You say, well, I've already got enough to do. I don't need to be involved with the church. If you want to be a part of this church, you need to be involved. You need to be doing something. Last Saturday, we had some folks here. They were washing windows. They were washing Venetian blinds. They're nice and bright and shiny. And you notice the blue stuff's been taken off the windows. And things are happening because we're working together. Nobody is an island. We are together, arm in arm. Now, the first thing we need to do as we think about this, I want to share a couple possibilities with you. First, we need to have faith that we're doing what the Lord would have us to do. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I would not share with you anything but this book. So we need to have faith that we understand what the Lord wants to do. So we must continue to proclaim the word in purity without man's philosophy added to it. Several weeks ago, I shared with you three different ways that we can be reasonably sure that we know the word of God, or we're doing what God wants us to do. One of the ways that I shared with you is that we can read it in the Bible and it can touch our heart, and we can do what the Bible says. We can be sure that that's God's will, because that's what he's given to us. There's a second way, a little more difficult. The Holy Spirit can lead us as individuals toward a certain goal or objective. He can touch your heart, and he can say, do this, do that, get involved in this or that. And you have a choice. Do it or don't do it. And then there's a third way that we can know the will of God for ourselves as well as for the church corporately. And that is circumstance. Now, that's the least trustworthy way of knowing the will of God, is to let circumstance dictate the will of God to us. And the reason that that is not real trustworthy is we may misinterpret what we think the circumstance is. And so we need to spend time. Great lesson this morning in Sunday school about spending time with God in prayer. Now, that can also be a cop-out. And all of you, I'm going to give you a good excuse not to do anything. Okay, if somebody says, would you mind helping with this? You say, well, let me pray about it. Ever done that? And you don't need to pray about it. You already know you don't want to do it. But you see, we do need to pray about things. So circumstance is the least trustworthy way of discerning God's will. But I want to share some circumstances with you. I want you to know how some of us are looking at the circumstances of this ministry. We've got some problems with the physical plant. The Sunday school wing is leaking. The reason the Sunday school wing is leaking is because 30 years ago, when they built that wing, they wanted to build a two-story building there to have extra Sunday school rooms and extra rooms for activities and things. And so when they started the construction, they just built one floor and they put a temporary roof on it. I didn't know that when I came. And Tim and I and Bobby and A.B. and some of the men, Lacey has helped. There have been times when we have tried to fix a 30-year-old roof that was only made for 15 years. So, it can't be fixed. Circumstance. We need to replace the roof. And it is a very expensive proposition. In order to do that, we have to tear the roof off. We have to take the air conditioning off. And the air conditioner is not working real well. And so we're going to have to replace it while we're doing that. Or, possibility, is circumstance saying it's time to build that second story so we have more room for Sunday school, for other activities. And the money that it would take to replace a roof, which is somewhere between $45,000 and $60,000, could go toward beginning adding to it, meeting a need that we have down the road. The AC for one floor is between $15,000 and $18,000. So right away we've got almost $78,000 that we could, rather than replace the roof, we could go into a building program. And folks, I don't believe that a church should owe money. I believe that if God wants something, God is going to pay for it. So, that's a possibility of a direction for us to move in. I don't believe that we can undertake the project in our own strength. In Psalm 127:1, it says, except, and you all know this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So if God should lead us, all of us, together, corporately, to enter into a project like that, then he would be the one who would need to do it. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been in a church like this before, but we have talked about and we're working hard to get rid of indebtedness that goes back many years. And we're down to 14 months, and we will have all of the indebtedness paid off. So we don't want to enter into another big indebtedness. We want, if we're going to do anything, we're going to pay as you go. The Lord's going to have to provide in advance or as we need it. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I believe that one of the things that the Lord does is if he wants a project done, he pays for that project. You say, how can he do that? If he needs more dirt, he's going to make more dirt. God made everything. It belongs to him. We have to trust him to provide. He called this ministry to be here. We have to trust him to care for this ministry. And that's what we're supposed to do. I believe that's what we're supposed to do. That's why I've been preaching from the Word about faith. That's why we studied 10 lessons about faith in Sunday school. Now we're going to step into the gifts of the Spirit, which all of us are using, or can use. So I believe that God, if God wants this, God will provide for it. Let me just share a short example with you. Connie and I were in a ministry out in Texas. It was a very poor ministry. They gave us a home. They gave us a 1940 some mobile home to live in. It was 50 feet long, 8 feet wide. And if any of you have ever been in an old mobile home, you know it's paneled from one end to the other. But there were holes in the roof like this. And so rather than try and fix the roof, because you can't, they built another roof over it. And we lived there with the rats and the snakes. We had both, Western Diamondbacks and Norway rats. We got along, you know. They didn't eat the same thing we did. We didn't eat what they ate. Okay. But we began to pray, Lord, this is your camp, and we really need a new dining hall. The dining hall was falling down. The termites had eaten the roof joist, and it was falling in. We had it propped up with 2-inch pipe so it wouldn't fall on the kids. Every time it rained, we had buckets and barrels sitting everywhere, like we do here. And one day, I started praying, Lord, we need a new dining hall, we need a new kitchen, and Lord, if we could have an auditorium, it'd be great. And so God heard my prayer, and one day, I've been praying this prayer about 2 months, figuring in my own mind, God's going to answer the prayer maybe 10 years down the road. One day a stranger came on camp and asked me to show him around, and I did. And he said, what's your vision for the camp? And I said, well, we need a new dining hall, new kitchen, new auditorium. And I had a one-line drawing on a napkin that I had drawn just doodling, really. And he looked at it and he said, what do you think that would cost? And I said, well, I got prices on it, and it was $125,000. And he said, I don't think you can do it for that. And he said, well, thank you for showing me around, and he left. 2 weeks later, he called. He said, I'm so-and-so. You showed me around the camp. I'm chairman of a foundation. We want to build that building for you. He said, I don't think you can do it for $125,000, so when you run out of money, you call me. $440,000 later, 20 weeks of 24 couples, 20 weeks of labor of 24 couples, we had a $1 million conference center. Now, God did that. I didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, when he answered my prayer, number one, let me show you, my faith, I couldn't believe it. I didn't even know how to pray anymore because I'd been praying for this big thing, and God provided this big thing. People, unless we think big for God, we're not going to accomplish anything big for God. That's part of the problem. We've got to think bigger. We need to do more. If the church family, that's all of us, felt like the Lord would have us go into a project like that, we would all have to take part. There would be something for everybody to do. There are details and finding, you know, getting estimates and finding contractors and architects and just all kinds of things that people could be involved in. We would encourage and welcome the assistance of the family. It wouldn't be a one-person project. Excuse me. Were we to go in such a project, there would be another large expense that we have to think about. And I'm just showing you a vision for what could happen here. It's not going to happen right now. But I'm sharing a vision with you. If we were going to add to the Sunday school wing a second story, then we would have to get rid of all the green grass out here between the road and the parking lot and add parking lot, because the city has a ordinance that says we have to have so much parking for so many square feet. So we would have to expand the front parking lot. So that would be another big project. Lord's got a lot to do if he's going to be in this. So there would be expenses. There would be things required. But we are not going to obligate this congregation for one dime. If God wants this, God will pay for it, just like he did the conference center. Some of us might be able to help, but God's the one who's got to do it. So it's just something to think about. Now, I believe that it would be important that we pay particular attention to the scriptures for guidance. Because everything that we do here at this church, for you visitors and for you who are new, everything we do, we look for Scripture. Because this is the sure way that we are doing what God wants us to do. And you've heard these verses before up here not too long ago. Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it's talking about the heroes of the faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Would God set this kind of a project before us? Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I made a statement a couple of minutes ago. I said, if God, who can do anything, who created this world we live in, if God needs more dirt, he can make it. Think about that. Whatever God needs, he can make. So God, we can look to him to provide what we have need of. We need, and this is important for us to think about, we need the leading of God's Holy Spirit rather than the desires of our own deceitful hearts. Heard about that in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of deceit going on out there. We're being deceived. And we are. But the Holy Spirit can show us the truth. So if you think that we should move ahead, then and that we should begin getting details, we're not ready to start breaking ground or anything. We're just we would be at the very beginning stages of this. And God says, count the cost. He says, plan ahead, you know, provide for it. There's a verse in Corinthians 14:40. I love that verse, and I trust that you will take it for your own. That verse in 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that means appropriately and on time. And that's what we want to, that's how we want to work. That's how we want to plan. That's how we want to conduct our ministry here. We want to do all things decently in order. And so this might be a good time to mention that if you attend regularly, and some of you do, and you have not become an official member of the church yet, in order to have a say in what we do, when we come to that point, you need to join. Nobody's going to get bit, okay? There'll be no teeth marks. But that will give you, it will make you a part of the organization that would be doing this. So you need to pray prayerfully, seek the Lord's will in this. Some have already talked to me about becoming members and setting particular times and for activities and things, and so we will do that. But if you prayerfully think that this is a home that you want to be in, church-wise, let us know, and we'll take the necessary. It takes about 2 weeks. For once you request it, we want to hear your testimony, not to judge you, not to condemn you, but to be assured that you understand who we are, who you are, where you are. So I believe that things are going to get exciting around here. I think that God is fixing to do some big things. And I want to be a part of it. One of the reasons I would hate to miss church, I'm afraid there have been revivals that have started. It hasn't happened now in 100 years, at least not in this country. But there have been times when revivals have started in a church because the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon people. He's already in our hearts. But he gives a certain extra power for the revival to take place. I don't ever want to miss that. I want to be there if it happens. And I want to be here when this church begins to move forward for God. I hope you do too. So, we're going to go ahead and have prayer, sing a closing hymn, and then we're going to take about a 5-minute break, and we're going to come back here, and I'm going to pass out. We're not going to make this anything official. We want your opinion. I've asked you for several weeks now to pray about this, how you feel the Lord might lead you. And we will be passing out ballots. And we are going to have a brief quarterly business meeting. And at that time, I will share with you our financial position and answer any questions you have about our church ministry. But then I'm going to pass out ballots. And I'm asking questions. This is nothing that is binding upon the membership or the officers of the church. But this is simply for information. We want to know what you think. And the reason I'm passing out ballots is so that you can freely answer the questions and nobody will know who you were. Okay? Here's the three questions that are on this ballot. Question one. Should the church begin to gather information and cost for a future building project involving the Sunday school wing? Another vote from the congregation would be necessary before we could begin such a project. Yes or no? Question two, do you believe that the church is operating in God's will? Yes or no? Question three, are you satisfied with the present church officers? That would be your deacons, Sunday school teacher, and pastor. Give you a chance to express your opinion. Member or non-member, regular attender, you're here, you'll get a ballot. So that we get an opinion from you, we want to be open and above board with everything we do. Because there's not supposed to be any secrecy in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to close with prayer. Tim's going to come. We'll have our closing hymn. We'll take about a 5-minute break. So anybody who needs to make a stop can make a stop. And then we'll go into this. This will be a short meeting. But I will have a chance to share with you some of the information such as our financial status and other things that are going on. Okay, Father, thank you that we have had this time together this morning as a family. Help us as a family to follow your will. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct each heart. And Father, may we yield our wills to your will. And Father, may we focus on the goals that you would have this ministry focus upon. We would ask that your Holy Spirit would prevent us from making mistakes, but that he would lead us to the center of your perfect will, and that your will be done in each of our hearts, and we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tim.